Hey guys, welcome to another incredible episode of Freedom Declassified. As always, I'm your host, Adam Bratsfield. And you know what? We got a very special non-political program, believe it or not, today. And it's going to touch a lot of hearts at home. It sure has touched mine. And this has actually been a spur-of-the-moment podcast. And I'm going to tell you why here in just a minute, but my guest today is Colby Meyer. Now, a lot of you out there don't even know who that is. I didn't until today. But Colby's brother, Taylor, was murdered on November 9th, 2018, on the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico, where he was vacationing. And all of the struggle that the family had to go through, not only with Colby's brother being murdered, but the struggle that they had with the country of Mexico trying to just get Taylor's body back here, and still to this day, there is no justice for Taylor. Not yet. But there's a little bit of hope. Today I was scrolling through Twitter and I ran across a few tweets from a few people that I'm close to. One of them that has been on the program before, Sky, she shared a tweet. If you remember the interview that I did with Sky here on Freedom Declassified, she shared a tweet of a photograph, and it was the Oklahoma City Police Department that was sharing a photograph of somebody that was using Taylor's credit card in 2019 in Oklahoma City, and they knew the PIN number. Now, we're going to get deeper into that here in a minute, but as soon as I saw James Woods on Twitter talking about this, I knew that I had to get a hold of Colby and bring him on the show so that we could shed light. All of us have love. I have a brother. Everybody knows me, knows I have a brother. We're born 4 years apart on the same day. He's younger than I am. I don't know what it's like to lose a brother or a sister. I know what it's like to lose a father and hold him in my arms as he takes his last breath. But could you imagine going on vacation, or your family member or your loved one, your brother, your sister, going on vacation in another country, and you just act as though it's just another average day, only to find out you'd never see them again. And only to find out that the country that they went in, vacationed in, would do everything in their power basically to prevent you from finding out what happened. So with that being said, I bring in Colby Meyer. Colby, how are you doing today, buddy?
Good. How are you, Adam?
Man, I'm doing okay. I really appreciate you coming on Freedom Declassified. I know that our audience will appreciate all the information that you can give us so that we can try to be a part and help you and your family come to some sort of finish to what happened to your brother Taylor. So with that, I'm going to ask you to fill us in, and you don't have to worry about being short, but fill us in. We got plenty of time here, brother, on Freedom Declassified. We don't cut nobody off. So we want to know exactly who your brother was. First of all, okay, let's talk about who your brother was. Growing up, you and him together, your age difference, talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Taylor was 8 years younger than me. He was born on July 3rd, 1991, to my parents, obviously. And he was an athletic guy. He loved sports growing up, big Dodger fan. He was 6'3". I'm 5'10". The guy benched probably, at least 240, 250 consistently. He was a big guy. He was athletic. He was smart. He worked for United States Postal Service, UPS. Started with them in, I believe it was Denver. Then he went to Scottsdale, Arizona for a while. And then he got transferred out to out here in Southern California and lived in Hermosa Beach, California. He was moving up the ranks with UPS corporate and sales. Did really, really well for himself, very well. I just bought a brand-new car, lived a few blocks away from the beach, could see the whole ocean from where he lived, and was a good Christian, a good friend, just a loving person who had many different groups of friends. And he was the kind of guy that you wanted to be around. And I know some people told me he looked up to me, but in fact, I actually looked up to him. And I didn't know the kind of person that he really was until I heard all the stories from his friends of the things that Taylor had done. I didn't know that he had actually saved somebody's life in the past. In regards to a, this was a year or two ago, there was a man at a bar that tried to stab another man, and Taylor jumped in and grabbed the guy and threw him down on the ground and saved another guy's life. And, you know, he saved somebody from being stabbed, yet Taylor was stabbed to death. And he was killed in Playa del Carmen, Mexico, on November 9th, 2018. He had gone down there on a trip for a friend's 30th birthday party with a group of friends, guys and girls both. They got a BRBO, or VRBO, I believe it is. I don't know how you pronounce that.
Explain what that is. Can you help that out?
It's one of those timeshare type of things where you can rent it out. Mm-hmm. And people rent out their homes, you know, and that. But he was in a gated community, and they looked it all up. Taylor checked in with the State Department, with STEP, before he left for Mexico. He had an itinerary of everything they were doing as a group, where they were going, like excursions, everything to the T, that he gave my parents. So he had it. He took every precaution necessary, yet he was still killed in Mexico. And the whole reason he was killed was because of the way he looked. They knew he was an American, and he was a big guy. He was targeted because of his size. And we know that they robbed him and then they killed him. And it was several people. He had gone to the bars that night, from what we heard from the rest of the group. And, you know, it's kind of like Las Vegas. If you've ever been to Mexico, there's bar after bar after bar. It's just like going to Vegas on the Strip. And, you know,
right,
you drink
especially
drink
on the
24-hour drinking. Yeah, it's a party, you know. And
yeah.
And that's
somebody's
what,
getting married at that, especially with, you know.
Yes. Yeah, it's similar. It's similar. It's Playa del Carmen is just like Cancun. There's all the bars, you know. You got the famous one, Senior Frogs, and you know Carlos and Charlie's, and all those places down there. And a lot of Americans flocked down there. And my brother was one of them with the group. And we told him beforehand how dangerous Mexico was. And he thought, you know, well, hey, he looked it up and said the State Department only ranks it a two as far as safety. And it's the same as Italy, well, and Germany, and even Antarctica. Well, if you know, Mexico is not the same as Antarctica. There are heads being found in coolers on the beach. There's decapitated body, and there's 50,000 some people missing. And they're averaging 35,000 homicides a year and growing. So
real quick,
the country is very unsafe.
Right. Real quick, so that I can, I mean, just get the hard questions pretty much out of the way. So he was murdered on November 9th, 2018. And how big of a group was he with, Toby?
He was with 12 other, either 11 or 12 other people, I believe it was.
So there was 11 or 12 other people that were with him.
Correct. Not at the time he was murdered. He had gotten separated.
Right, but they flew down there with him.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
And they had, and one of his very good friends, obviously I'm not going to say his name, but had to ID the body as well, so that you can imagine how.
Were
tough
any
that
of
would
them
be to
detained?
Friends. I'm sorry. What was that?
Were any of the people that went down there with him before we go into Mexico, were any of them that went down there with him, were they detained by the Mexican authorities when Taylor's body was found? Did
No.
any did they did they weren't so they weren't none of them were questioned or anything like that? And
They weren't
I'm
even.
not saying in any way, form, or fashion that they were involved at all. Not at all. What I'm because we're going to prove that point here in just a minute. What I'm getting at is, I think I would stand with all of America and think to myself, surely, and you may be able to enlighten us here, that night on November 9th, he wasn't out alone. Was he out alone or no?
No. He started the night with everybody, and they went to bars, several bars. And like I said before, like it's just like Vegas. You know, you could be gambling or kind of, I mean, it's not gambling, but there's bars. You could be drinking somewhere, and somebody gets tired of being there, so they want to go somewhere else. You know, they bar hop,
Right.
as they call it.
Right.
So some of the people leave, and they stray off, and they go. Next thing you know, your group of 12 goes down to six. Next thing you know, it's down to three. And next thing you know, you're there by yourself. And there's been several times I've been down to, you know, Newport Beach in California, the bars down there, and gotten separated from my friends. It happens. It's easily happened, especially in a foreign country. And all of his friends and him knew, and they had been there several days before this happened. They had arrived on a Sunday, and he was killed, I believe it was a Thursday night or Friday morning. So he was already there for 4 or 5 days before he was killed, and they had gone out other previous nights. So it just shows you cannot get separated from a group. You can't. Be, you know, and we don't know how he got separated. We do not know that. We don't. We wanted an investigation. Obviously, the bars he was at have cameras, we think, and but we know Mexico is trying to cover it up as well.
What did he
So
have?
when he
What
was
did they
first,
rob? Do you know what they robbed off of him, Colby? Do you know what they
yes,
took off of him?
they took his wallet, his watch, his phone, and his shoes.
Now,
And the way
in
he was
that ball,
identified
that's what I
was,
was going to ask you. Where was
he
his
had,
body found? Was it found in the bar or in the street somewhere or
no,
where?
it was found a ways from the bar, and we don't know how he got there. We think that a cab driver or something, he took a cab, but he did have sent a text to a friend saying he was on his way back to the place where they were all staying, and he never came back. And so that's
So
what
he
we don't
left the
understand.
bar and sent a text back to one of the other people that was in the group saying,
In the
I'm
group.
on my way back.
And he never showed up. And within 10 minutes after he did that, his phone stopped tracking. Because they all had trackers on each other down there. And his phone
Right,
stopped
exactly.
tracking.
Right.
His body was found a ways, like a 30-minute walk, which we know he didn't walk, away from the bars in a, you know, what's a residential area. It's really a kind of a dangerous area from what I've heard. And there were, you know, there were, it's just. It's hard to go into full detail because I don't know all the full details, and I don't want to
Right.
speculate on anything until we get an
Sure. No.
investigation. We
Yeah.
do know that his friends weren't aware of it. The way they found out it was even Taylor is the, but you know there was it was reported the crime and the police showed up and they ID'd him because he had a credit card receipt in his back pocket with his initials on it, and because he had checked in with the State Department and obviously he looked American and was American. They were able to figure out that it was Taylor and were able to contact the next of kin, which was my parents. And I'll never forget that call I got from my mom. I was at work and I just remember it was towards the end of the day, about 3 o'clock, 3:30. I answered my office phone and she's just panically, you know, crying and hysterical crying and just saying they. Your body, your brother hasn't responded to phone calls. Everyone's been calling and texting him, and they found a body. And I'm trying to figure out what, trying to piece everything together between the crying and the screaming. And I leave the office and I get home, and I just remember seeing my dad sitting at the chair with tears in his eyes. And they said it was Taylor. It was confirmed by the Mexican authorities. And within hours, the Mexican news reports had released all kinds of false and fake news that's completely untrue about my brother, and they did it to prevent bad PR to save their tourism industry. And I can assure you and other people that it is my lifelong goal to ruin their tourism industry now because of this. And until they can clean up their act, I will continue to pound on them with how dangerous Mexico is, because it is not safe to travel there for spring break if you have children. It is not safe to go there on vacation. And some people will think it's safe to go to the resort and not go stray outside. It's not safe at the resorts. My parents have met several families that have had people die at the resorts that have died of alcohol poisoning, tainted alcohol. And a lot of the time they put ethanol over the ice in the cups and the clubs. They intoxicate you to the point where you don't know what you are, what you're doing, and either robbed, you're killed. And so many people that I know are always robbed, or and the corruption is rampant, and everybody knows that. The police are corrupt, and I've heard stories of people that go to police for help, and the police arrest them, or they rob them, or try to make a deal for money. I mean, I've had friends that have gone to Mexico. In fact, two of my very close friends had gone several weeks prior, or before my brother had gone to Mexico, and the cab drivers tried to throw one of them inside a cab and kidnap him. So that shows how dangerous it is. And they were in Cancun. So that whole state of Quintana Roo is not safe. There's gangs, cartels, it's terrible.
I was just fixing to say the drug cartels have surely just, they've taken over Mexico. I mean, we all know that.
Yeah, they control the government, and that's the problem.
Can you tell us about how many times Taylor was stabbed?
We one time.
He was stabbed one time,
One time. And there was
and then.
no, we don't, I know there was no markings to his face that I know of. He wasn't hit, hurt. We don't know the details, so that they got him once. He was stabbed in the heart, and it was by several people. We do know. I don't want to get too much detail regarding that. I do
Sure.
know that there was more than one suspect that assaulted him and killed him. Immediately after, when this broke in the United States, and NBC, ABC News was actually the very first ones to cover it. And a reporter by the name of Leticia Juarez for ABC covered it, and she did a great job. And KTLA also, which is our local news, covered it. And then it took off, and Mexico saw it. Somebody in Mexico, the news station saw it, and they started covering it up. They wouldn't release anything. I mean, and then to negotiate to get somebody's body back from Mexico was nearly impossible. Let me tell you,
Let's
this
talk
cost
about that
thousands
for
of
a
dollars.
second. Let's talk about that for a second, if you don't mind, as we kind of lead our listener down the line here. So your brother was stabbed. Your father's sitting at home. You get there. He confirms that it was Taylor. And now the process, and obviously with the ABC recover or starting to record news articles and go on television and start talking about that, and also in your home state. What was the process of getting Taylor back to America? Let's let our listeners know.
A lot of that honestly was dealt with by my father and my mother, because they were next of kin, not myself. I do know they worked close hand in hand with the State Department, or not with the State Department, I'm sorry, with the United States Embassy in Mexico, and with some representatives there and getting him back. But it was, I can't tell you, it was very difficult, because to get a body back from Mexico without ID, without identification. And he was identified by his friends, obviously, in the mortuary, in the morgue there. But there was, and then once you ID him and everything, you have to get basically a birth certificate, send it, all this back and forth, and that's just to get him out of Mexico. And of course, Mexico wants to negotiate everything on pricing, and were very difficult. The funeral home was very, very obliging, though. They worked well with my parents. The funeral home in Playa del Carmen that he was at. And as far as helping us get him back, the Mexican government did not help one bit. The United States Embassy was our only hope, and they did help. And we did eventually get him back here. It took about 2 weeks, I believe, a week to 2 weeks to get him back. In hours and hours and hours on the phone, making
So when
calls.
you say when you yeah when you say that and I heard you say a few minutes ago, when you say that the resorts in Mexico, especially Cancun, the Yucatan Peninsula, when you say, for the people that are listening, before we get to this tweet that I saw today, to where we can fast forward a little bit, everybody knows who's listening that the Mexican government is corrupt. They're corrupt by the cartels. They're corrupt by business leaders from all over the country. Mexico has long been known to take any kind of bribe, to do anything, to even – I remember, and this will come as a shock maybe to a lot of people, but my father was a very religious man, and I remember going to the most dangerous city, they say, in the country of Mexico, which is Juarez, which is right across the street, right across the border there, right across the street, if you will, yeah, from El Paso. And I remember, you know, going there in a church bus when I was a kid. And I mean, like, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old. And we obviously went there, and dad was doing good things for the homeless population and people that were living in cardboard boxes. But to hear of a subject like this happening on basically resort property, if you will, in the Yucatan is kind of ironic.
Well, not only that, Adam, but there are more Americans killed in Mexico on vacation than all the other countries in the world combined. And those are the facts. And Tommy Lawrence reported it. There is a special on Fox Nation from hers that we did regarding the facts of it and more information. But, yeah, there's more Americans killed. And Mexico, the United States doesn't broadcast it. Luckily, my brother got the media attention because I do have a connection with the media. And that's how we got started, because I was not about to let the Mexican media dictate how my brother's death was going to be portrayed on their news stations, because it was false and fake, and none of it was true. And,
well, I mean, can you give us an example of what they were saying? Just maybe one or two examples of what they were saying.
They said that he was with, like, you know, and it was transvestites, or he was, and that one station said, you know, that one of his friends had killed him, and that's completely false. That is not true. There was a witness to it. I'm not going to go into depth of that.
No, you don't. I don't. Yeah,
the crime.
Sure.
And I can tell you that it was not, his friends had nothing to do with it. They weren't near him. You know, it was a random act of violence.
So is this witness still alive?
Continuously happening. Yes. And he's in.
Has this witness been questioned by any United States government official, or has the Mexican government tried to work with, or what?
I don't know about that. That is an ongoing investigation. I have contacted the United States ambassador to Mexico, and I have heard back from him. We did hear back from somebody from his office just earlier this week. They are going to look into it. Let's hope it's just not, you know, words, that they do take action. But, you know, here's a fact that 92% of violent crimes go unpunished in Mexico. So even if they were to find somebody, the chances of catching somebody in Mexico for this crime is slim to none. And we've already come to terms with that, my family and I. And now it's a matter of this guy who used his credit card and knew my brother's PIN number. And a lot of people.
Yeah. Now this is, let me introduce the people. Yeah. Let me introduce the people that are listening to that before you go into detail, because this is why, you know, we put this program together so fast, and I know I'm going to get a shit ton of criticism for jumping in here on you, but I want to make sure that everybody understands the timeline. So I'm going to go right back through it real quick, Kobe, and then I want you to talk about the picture that I saw today on Twitter that James Woods is a part of, and Sky's a part. A lot of people have actually shared this. And first of all, so we got the November 9th, 2018. We know he was stabbed in the heart. It took 2 weeks, basically, to get his body back into the United States. All of his, you know, basically the friends, the Mexico media was obviously trying to portray him as something he wasn't. They even tried to blame a friend, and we know that wasn't true. Now, all of a sudden, as you said a while ago when I asked you what was stolen or what did they rob off of him? You said his wallet. And
correct.
So now all of a sudden I see a tweet from the Oklahoma City Police Department with a mugshot, and we're going to put this on Twitter and on our Facebook page and everywhere else we can post it, of this mugshot of this guy who used your brother's credit card number, but not only, or excuse me, your brother's credit card in real time, but not only did he use the card, he actually knew the PIN number.
Correct.
How in the hell does that happen unless Taylor, how did that, I'm trying to find out, how, because I don't just tell somebody my PIN number if I don't know them.
Well, we do know, you know, not going into too much detail, we do know Taylor was taken to an ATM before he was killed. If somebody was with him or what, which we believe he was, somebody did take him to an ATM and made him force
gotcha.
Him to take out the maximum amount of money. So the fact, you know, a lot of people.
So before he was killed, he went to an ATM machine and took out the. He was taken to an ATM machine and he took out the maximum amount of money from his card.
Correct. That it would allow.
And then this card shows up in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
With this gentleman that tried to use it at a credit union. And the only reason that we were able to get a picture of this gentleman, I shouldn't even say gentleman because he's not a gentleman. He's a punk. He's a thug. Of this guy.
He's a punk-ass. Yeah.
The only reason we were able to is because my father used to build banks. He's worked at banks, so he knows that there are security cameras on the ATMs. So he thought, and we've had no help from the FBI during all of this. Zero. None. We've had no help. We've done this basically, this investigation on our own with the help of our brains and working together, my father and I, for the most part, and family and friends. And we realized that we contacted this when the Oklahoma City police alerted us that his credit card was trying to be used. We found out the location, contacted the bank exit to get security cameras, which they accessed and released the pictures to us or to the Oklahoma City police, which then they released it to the public. And it is a pinned post on my profile page. I want everyone to go to it, retweet it. We want to get this guy's face. And he was with a woman, too. You can see her in the background. It is a silver SUV that they were driving. We were unable to get the plates get up off the camera, which if we would have had the plates, it would have made it a lot easier. We've tried everything. We've looked for cameras in the nearby intersections, but there are none. And it's in a pretty rural area. Outside, it's in Oklahoma City, but on the outskirts, right off one of the interstates there. But all the, it's not like Southern California or Northern California where you have cameras at the stoplights. It's wire lights, as you call them. So we lost the track there. But if we can get somebody that's noticed this guy or sees his face, especially in the city area, that would be great, and report it right away to the Oklahoma City Police. And the case number is on my pinned tweet. So,
well, and I want you to real quick tell everybody your Twitter page handle.
Yeah, my Twitter handle is at @ColbyMeyershow, and that is Colby Meyer Show. That is my Twitter handle. You'll see when you go on there that there was a bench dedicated in Hermosa Beach, California to Taylor. Tommy Lahren helped us get that done as well. He's got a dedication at Tower 12 in Hermosa Beach. He was very well known throughout the community of Hermosa Beach, Scottsdale, and Denver. He also went to CU Boulder. He had his college degree from there, was in a fraternity, good kid, got good grades, never got in trouble ever. And, you know, so he I don't know what had happened. We don't know. We want the FBI to investigate, but obviously Mexico has to allow them to. But more than anything, even more than the answers that I want, is I want the United States to, the travel advisory to be raised to a 4 from the State Department, because right now it's a 2.
What do you mean by that? Explain.
Well, the State Department releases a ranking, basically, from a 1 to a 4 on how safe travel is to a foreign country. And, for instance, Syria, or Iran during, you know, the crisis, it'd be a 4 because it's extremely dangerous to travel. And it says basically stay away at all costs. You know, and then a 2 is use caution. So a level 2, and that's what Mexico is right now. Now, there are areas in Mexico that are 3s and 4s. For instance, Acapulco is very, very dangerous. But Playa del Carmen in the state of Quintana Roo, Mexico, is the size of the city of Rancho Cucamonga, basically. And they average over almost 2 murders a day there. So you know that I believe it's about 100-some thousand people. And that's not, I mean, for 100,000 people, 2 murders a day or even a murder a day is unbelievable. And Mexico had over 35,000 homicides last year. And, you know, it's just we want the state, we don't want somebody else's children or loved ones to end up and have to go through what my family's gone through. And spring break is coming up. We are in March right now. A lot of universities and kids still go down there. And don't. If the parents are listening, do not let your kids go there. There's alternatives that are just as great. If you're 21 and over, Las Vegas is a great destination, and it's right here. And spend your money here in the States. If you don't, if they want to go somewhere outside, you know, there's a great spot in the Caribbean. There's St. Thomas is a great – the Caribbean islands, for the most part, minus Jamaica, is fairly safe. My wife and I and my family and I have been to the Caribbean several times. Aruba, Barbados, I've been to a lot of the Caribbean islands, and I've never felt unsafe. Walked around. Obviously, we went on a cruise ship, so we weren't there at night and stuff. But during the day, you know, we were fine. And it has a nightlife there. And I've never heard of major stories of issues other than in the Dominican Republic last year with some issues. But the most part, the Caribbean is a lot safer choice for a group of people to go to than Mexico. And that's because the cartels are so involved in Mexico and everywhere. You don't know. And that's the thing. You don't know who's in a cartel or who's not. You don't know who's the wrong person, who's not. And not to say that you're going to deal with them, but even if you're walking down the street and somebody says something and you say something back, you don't know who they're affiliated with. You don't know. And that's the scary part of the country. And it's Mexico. It's not worth sending your kids to. And my parents told my brother, and as well as I did, that it was dangerous and to be very careful. And he you know, his reasoning for going was, well, it's a level 2. You know, it's the State Department says it's a level 2. It just says use caution, Mom and Dad. It's fine. And look at where he ended up. He ended up murdered because of it. And, I mean, Antarctica is a level 2. You're going to tell me that Mexico is just as safe as Antarctica and Italy and Germany? Mm-hmm. There's no way. And if you look at the murders, I have a post further down on my page that there's 4 or 5 countries that represent almost a third of the murders in the world, and they're all in South America. And the South American countries have the majority of homicides and violent crimes in the world, if you look at the statistics, between Colombia, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Bolivia, Mexico, I mean, even down to Costa Rica. But I know Costa Rica is a destination resort, but I would avoid South America in general, but Mexico for sure. There is no – there's so many other better vacation options for spring break. So parents, if you're out there listening, please, please adhere to this, that for your children's safety, it is not worth it. It might be cheap, and that's why a lot of people flock to Mexico, is the prices are cheap. And my family even had a timeshare there years ago, and we'd been several times, but it's changed. Mexico's not the same Mexico it used to be. It is dangerous, filled with drugs, cartels, and corruption.
To be clear, we're not saying that anybody here on this program, or you or your family or anybody, is anti-Latino or anti-Mexican.
No.
What we're saying is this is a chronic problem that actually gets overlooked more than most people realize here in the States.
Yes.
If you remember, 2 months ago we were talking about an entire American family that was murdered on the border.
Yes. Yes.
And because of the coronavirus, now we're not talking about that no more.
No. And it will continue to happen. And the United States brushes it under the rug. It will surface for a while, and then they brush it under the rug until the next time it happens. And I feel bad for the people in the country. I really, truly do, because their government is so corrupt and their country is so poor that those people feel they have to kill tourists to make their income, basically. And that's what, you know, I forgive the men that did it. I do. As a Christian man of faith, I forgive the men who killed my brother. So does my dad. I mean, it's very tough to do. But I don't forgive the country, because their country is, if the country wasn't as screwed up as it is, these people wouldn't have to do the things they do to make money. And that's where the problem arises. It's from the government there. I'm not, you know, the people, there's some great people in Mexico. They're very friendly. And the people are fleeing that country, trying to come into the United States because it is so dangerous. But we can't just let everybody in either. As you see, this guy came across the border somehow. And
somehow,
we can't
and this is what
that.
Blows my mind. This is what just absolutely, and if for everybody who's listening, go on, pull up a map. And, well, you, if you're not familiar with Mexico, but if you know where the Yucatan Peninsula is, okay, and how many miles it is away, if from a, as a crow flies. Now, if you're not from the South, you don't probably know what that means, but we use that in the Midwest and in the South. As a crow flies means in a straight line. From the Yucatan Peninsula to Oklahoma City is thousands of miles. I'm not talking about 350 miles here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about a couple thousand miles from the Yucatan Peninsula, where Taylor was at, to Oklahoma City. And by the way, I want to say this real quick. The case number that the Oklahoma City police listed in that tweet is case number 19-002-8862. Again, that's case number 19-002-8862. We're going to post this on my Twitter page at Adam Brassfield, and then our Facebook page, Freedom Declassified. There's a picture of the man who's using Colby's brother Taylor, his card. He knew his PIN number in Oklahoma City, but Taylor was murdered in the Yucatan outside of Cancun in Mexico, November 9th, 2018. So the picture that you see on our Twitter, or my Twitter page and our Facebook page, and all of the other people who are sharing this along through Twitter, Facebook, every social media, somebody has seen this guy. And how he come across the border, this is the problem. How he got into America with Taylor's credit card, that is a story in of itself.
That is
but a young American, talented, smart, handsome, and tall young man was murdered in cold blood in Mexico, and now it's time for answers, and it's time for our government to step up. This case, absolutely, and I know there's, I don't know if there's millions, but there's close to probably at least, I don't even know what the number is. I don't want to say it, because if I do say a number, somebody will fact check me from Politico like flies on shit. So I'm just saying, it's not just this family that it happens to. It is a lot of families in America that go to Mexico for a wedding ceremony, or they go to Mexico to vacation. They go to Mexico to have fun for spring break, as Colby mentioned. And then you have a few families that end up like this that never get to see their brother or their son again. Are you kidding me, America? This has got to stop. The FBI has got to start waking up and stop. What I want to know real quick, Colby, and before I get upset here, you said a minute ago that the FBI has been no help.
Yeah, they have not.
You and your family, I'm guessing, has reached out to the FBI. Help me and the people who are listening understand that.
We have written a letter to every single member of Congress, every single member of the House and the Senate. And we
in California or the United States?
The entire United States, which was over 500 letters.
That's right.
And we sent them out to their offices. We got the addresses, my father and I, mostly my father. He spent the time and did it. Posted, stamped them, everything, and sent them all out. And we heard back from one person out of all the members of Congress regarding this. And he wrote the letter regarding the situation that happened.
Who was it?
Stating the one person that we received back was from Chuck Grassley, and it wasn't a direct response. It was just from a representative telling us to find our local congressperson to contact. Who, my parents' local congressperson, let me tell you, is Judy Chu. And she has been zero help. She is so focused on Twitter of bashing our president of the United States constantly. And I
what district is that?
I don't know. It's Los Angeles County, and it's the city of Claremont, I believe it is, and Laverne and San Dimas. I know those three cities in Glendora, I believe, too.
So I'm sure that you wrote a letter to Representative Eric Swalwell. You never got a response from him?
Every single member we have written to.
Eric Swalwell, isn't he the United States congressperson there in Los Angeles County and also a few? And Maxine Waters is also there in L.A. County.
Yes, yeah. Well, we all know who Maxine Waters is, and we know.
Yeah, that's the reason why we kicked her ass out of St. Louis County in Missouri.
Yeah, and Judy Chu is.
If you know the history behind Maxine Waters, she couldn't make it in Missouri. So she fled to Los Angeles, California, where if you look at her district right now, it's manipulated. It's absolutely obstruct. Illegal immigration runs rampant, and people are literally, pardon my French, but they're shitting in the streets.
Yep.
And she's making money off of, whether she likes it or not, she's making money off belittling other people and calling for violence. And I'm sure, and you said you wrote I'm taking you at your word.
My father did.
Kobe, and your family, you guys wrote a letter to everybody in Congress, and you never got a response back from the from the very representatives that represent your districts?
Yeah, we got the only no, not from our districts, no.
Chuck Grassley's in Iowa.
Yeah, correct. Correct. And the only reason we were able to get him is because my parents know somebody that works in his staff. And here's the thing is even Ted Lieu, who's a member, Democrat, who was he was the congressional member of Hermosa Beach area where my brother lived, never reached out to my family. Never reached out. He's so worried about bashing the president, bashing the economy and everything. He didn't take notice. He's never reached out to me. I've reached out to him and Judy Chu on Twitter over 100 to 200 times. And for a while, I tweeted Judy Chu for over 100 days straight and never heard a response back. Nothing. I've called her office. I've left voicemails. Nothing. We've written her. Nothing. She does not care. And so I want everyone out there to know that Ted Lieu especially, I don't know if Judy Chu is, but I know Ted Lieu is up for re-election. And whether you are a Democrat or Republican, this guy does not deserve to get re-elected. And that the job of Congress people is to serve the people, not to serve themselves.
Of their district.
They're not serving us. Of their district, correct. And they're not,
you know what?
Not serving us by doing this. We're not getting served justice. We're not getting help. We're not even getting any comfort from it. It's not even a phone call like, hey, how are you guys doing? Sorry, I just heard about this. Nothing. Nothing. They couldn't even get a letter. We couldn't even get a piece of stationery from their office. That is how ridiculous this is, that an American citizen was on vacation in Mexico, was murdered. It was all over the news. Like I said, it was covered on basically every – even ABC World News with David Muir covered it. So it was world news, and we can't hear from our local congressperson. It's ridiculous. So I just want everyone to know that if you ever have to go to somebody for help, that would be the last person you're going to have to go to, because the Congress, those people in Congress, especially in those two districts, Ted Lieu and Judy Chu, in California's districts, are not worth anything. They're not worth any help.
You know what frustrates me, I guess, as an American, and I got to be honest with you, I've got a lot of friends, and I'm so humbled to have met you, Kobe, and I really want you to hug your family and let them know that Freedom Declassified is going to stay on this. I want people to understand that the family wrote every single congress, and I'm even going to call out Republicans in the state of California. You assholes. You can't write a letter back? You can't write a letter back to their family and say, our condolences are with you? You can't take 5 minutes out of your day and have your secretary write a letter of condolence up and you sign it. I'm so sick of Congress putting everybody around the world first except Americans. And they want to say because we're Americans first that we're some sort of white supremacist. And this will be a line that Maxine will use if she hears this podcast, which I'm sure somebody up there in D.C. who knows me will share it with her. She'll say this is white extreme. You know, we're extremists and we're shut the hell up. Young man who lost his life on basically a vacation with his friends celebrating a marriage.
Birthday.
A birthday, celebrating a birthday. And his, I'm going to assume it's a Visa or MasterCard, right? A Visa or MasterCard
was used. Yeah, an ATM card, yeah.
It was an ATM card was used in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. How long after Taylor's death was that card used?
Within one month,
there was an illegal immigrant, we think, but there was somebody that came from the Yucatan Peninsula that knew Taylor's PIN number and used it at an ATM in Oklahoma City. That, ladies and gentlemen, just look on a map and look at how far, not only how far, but you got to come through the border some way. This is why it's so important that we have not only border security, but that we give voices to Kobe Meyer and his family. They're not – you just heard him. He just literally said, which almost broke my heart, he literally just said that he's a Christian. He believes in forgiveness. And I don't think I've ever heard this in my life because I'm going to be honest with you, Kobe. If somebody murdered my brother, I don't know that I could find that place. I'm still mad at my father's doctors. Well, it took over a year, but I'm still mad at my father's doctors 15 years ago over misdiagnosing him. That's a story for another day. But for you to say that you forgive the person who done it, you just want answers, and that you, more than anything, you want other American families to be aware of what really goes on in Mexico.
That is correct.
To me, my friend, that is your local church should award you a medal. Your state should be there at your family's home. People should, especially the congressmen and women, no matter the party. And Eric Swalwell, I am, and Maxine Waters, I'm especially, and Ted Lieu, I'm especially disappointed in you. Because all you do every single day on national television is point the finger at people who are committing crimes or doing this or doing that, and you can't take 5 minutes to contact this family and give them some sort of beacon of hope. You're ridiculous. It's pathetic. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And you're lucky that I don't live in California. But we have a big audience that's in California, and I guarantee you they're listening. And I guarantee you will receive phone calls from my office to your office in Washington, D.C. exercising our disappointment in how you have treated Kobe and his family. It's unacceptable here in America. Now, as we wind this down, Kobe, and I'm sorry I went on a hysterical rant there, but my God, I mean, it just one thing after another. So since the picture had aired from the Oklahoma City Police Department. Any leads, anybody, anything at all? I mean, has anybody contacted you since that tweet has went out?
Not that I know of. No, we haven't heard much. I've checked in once or twice with the detective in charge. I don't know his name by heart, I'll be honest with you. It's on a tab at my work. But I have checked in. They have gotten some tips and stuff, you know, but nothing that's a definitive tip. That's why I want to get this guy's face plastered on Instagram, Twitter, whatever your social media platform is. If you have a lot of followers, just keep retweeting it. The more this guy's face is seen, the better chance we have of him being found. And that would give us a lead into this. And like I said, we might not ever solve this murder. And most likely we probably won't. But we can educate those that plan on traveling, and we can definitely encourage our State Department and force them with our voices to raise the travel advisory to a level 4. Because I guarantee you no parent's going to send their kid on spring break to Mexico at a level 4 travel advisory, because they're not sending their kids to Afghanistan or Iraq or Syria or Somalia. And a lot of those are level 4s. So why would you send your children to Mexico?
Yeah. Why?
Or let them go.
And you know, the thing is what's so sad is, you know, the people that are listening right now, they're probably already got trips planned to Mexico for spring break or the summer or a wedding or a birthday party like your brother. And they're listening to this probably. One or two things are happening. They're either scared to death or they're thinking, well, you know, it's not a super high risk. Ladies and gentlemen, how big of a risk is it for you to look at your loved one knowing that they're leaving the country, going to Mexico, and especially, quote unquote, one of the safest places in Mexico, the Yucatan Peninsula, knowing that they're going to Cancun or Playa del Garma or whatever, and wondering if they'll ever come home again? Is it worth that one chance? That's all Colby's trying to do. And I think, Colby, a lot of people that are listening to our program here at Freedom Declassified, and obviously you can find our podcast anywhere on all 13 major platforms in the United States. That includes Apple iTunes, Apple Podcast. You can listen to it on Spotify, Google Play. I mean, I could keep going and going, but if you're a podcast listener, you're driving down the highway, you may be in the Midwest, go to our Facebook page, Freedom Declassified. Go to my Twitter page, Adam Brassfield. I know Twitter and I have been battling it out, trying to behave myself. We've been battling it out, but I'm going to post this. A lot of my friends are posting this all over Twitter. And you can go to Colby's page. He's posting it. There is a picture of this gentleman, and a female is in the vehicle with him on the second picture. There is a picture of this gentleman that used Taylor's card and knew his PIN number. He is of very high interest. And for the life of me, I mean, I knew our FBI was corrupt as hell, but for the life of me, I cannot understand how in the world the FBI is not on this. I just don't, because when I asked you the question a minute ago, have you contacted the FBI, we went straight to writing the letters of Congress. What was your experience with the FBI?
We haven't heard from them. We do have a family.
Have you reached out to them?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I've tweeted them several times, and you can go on their page and look, FBI Los Angeles. I've tweeted the White House. I've tweeted the president. I've tweeted the GOP, the Senate, everything, as well as writing letters. I've done everything that I know to do. And, of course, there's people out there telling me and giving me suggestions of people. And I after tweeting the United States Ambassador, Christopher Land, I believe it's pronounced Lando, over 100 times, I finally did get a response from him. And he said that they were going to look into it. It took about a week, and we did receive a call from a deputy senior staff member from the United States Embassy in Mexico, but basically telling us there's not much they can do down in Mexico unless the Mexican authorities give them permission, the FBI, to investigate. So it's basically just a circle round. But the one thing that we can do is spread awareness, and that is my main purpose, is to spread. And it is not anything against the people of Mexico. It is the government, and that's the issue I have, is with their government and how corrupt it is and the fake news there. You know, had they not ran this fake news story, I wouldn't be on the mission that I am on. And
right.
And I'll tell you, I won't quit until the State Department raises the travel advisory to a level 4 there, because any American that goes there on their cheap flights and the cheap hotels at the Crystal or the Omni or Marriott or wherever it is down there, and the Coco Bongos of the world down there, that's all great. But if you knew you had a percentage chance of getting murdered down there, far exceeding anywhere than that is higher than Watts or South Central, I don't see a lot of people going to South Central to vacation, or Watts or Compton,
right,
or the worst areas of New Orleans, Chicago, or Baltimore. They don't go there to vacation. So why are we sending our American citizens and telling them it's okay to go down there, and they're getting slaughtered? And numbers that you won't believe. I'm talking hundreds. About 3 months before Taylor was killed, him and I went to a Dodger game in Los Angeles. He had gotten seats very front row on the first baseline with his company, UPS, because he had done so successful and been so great with them that the company issued these tickets to us. He decided to take myself and my father with the two seats that he had. And we went and sat in the front row, and would you believe it, in the third or fourth inning, a ball was hit, a foul ball, and I caught it, which was awesome. And, you know, an inning later, I believe it was Todd Frazier, the Mets, or whoever it was, they were playing the Mets, came over, Michael Conforto, and tossed a ball. And Taylor reached out and grabbed it in front of me, and I kind of laughed. And he smiled, and he turns around, and there's a little kid standing there. And here's a guy that, you know, David Freese was the player that tossed the ball from the Dodgers at the time. Tossed the ball to Taylor, took it, gave it to this little kid who was standing two rows back. The kid didn't ask for the ball. That's just the kind of guy Taylor was. You didn't have to ask him for something. He just went and did it for you. He threw a birthday party he raised money for one of his friend's parents who had died, that he had never met, but he had raised money in Hermosa Beach for this guy to help pay for the funeral costs for this kid, and a guy who had only met a week ago. That was the kind of guy Taylor was. He was a giving, selfless person. And for him to have his life taken the way he did is just terrible. But we can't bring Taylor back. We can just memorialize him. We can tell stories, great, funny ones, and we can get the word out on how dangerous travel to Mexico is. And please urge your local lawmakers and your State Department and the FBI and whoever else you want to, Ted Lieu, Judy Chu, the two that are the biggest culprits in not helping our family and raising the state awareness and the State Department's travel advisory to a level 4 for Mexico. And that's all I got to say. Thank you for your time, Adam.
Fire! Fire!